It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 96 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. We had a pretty fun weekend of Star Wars here. Not only do we have the new movie, Last Jedi, come out, we also had a full weekend of X-Wing for Tim and I, particularly with the Toys for Tots charity event that Fantasy Flight put on. Particular shout out to Wade Pache for running that.
Yeah, it was an awesome weekend for Star Wars fans. In case anyone's worried, we will not be doing any Last Jedi commentary or spoilers, so you don't have to worry about that. We're just talking X-Wing today. But yeah, we had a really fun weekend. We had that Toys for Tots tournament, where the Minneapolis X-Wing community raised over $1,400 worth of toys, which was a really cool experience. It was a super fun event. Got to play a lot of great games of X-Wing and try out all the new Wave 12 and 13 stuff.
Yeah, it was great. The new waves were definitely out in full force, and it was fun to see all the new ships on the table. And also to take home the win.
Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about all the new stuff we were trying out. I put some time in with Advanced Optics Poe, as well as the new Phantom II shuttle. And I also got some more experience flying the Alpha Class Starwing.
Yeah, so let's jump right in with our experience there.
So after I initially dove into Waves 12 and 13 by trying out Kylo Ren and Alpha Class Starwings, this week I wanted to focus a little bit more on trying out a lot of the new Rebel stuff. Particularly, I was running a list that had both an Advanced Optics Poe Dameron as well as the new Phantom II shuttle. But I think we should start by looking at Advanced Optics Poe Dameron, because I think as soon as we all saw the Advanced Optics upgrade card, this was a combination that immediately came to mind.
Advanced Optics lets you hold on to your focus token at the end of turn, but you can't have more than one focus token. It's a 2-point tech upgrade, which is similar to Comm Relay. But this is great for Poe because he never really wants to spend that focus token, and now he doesn't have to use a focus action turn after turn. He's free to use that boost or target lock action he's got.
Yeah, and I've seen Advanced Optics on a couple different ship types there, and even on a ship that doesn't have Poe's ability, it's actually a pretty strong, valuable upgrade card. But then when you throw it on Poe Dameron, it takes it to a whole new level. So I got some experience in. The list I was flying was Poe Dameron with Veteran Instincts to get Poe up to pilot skill 11, the R2-D2 Astromech, kind of a staple we see on any ship that can take Rebel regen, Advanced Optics, of course, the Black One title, which is actually a very powerful upgrade I hadn't had a lot of previous experience with, as well as Auto Thrusters. And then I filled out the remainder of my list with the new AP-5 Phantom II Sheathbead class shuttle with Inspiring Recruit and R3-A2, or the Stress Droid. And then finishing it off, we had a Lothal Rebel VCX-100 with Fire Control System, Auto Blaster Turret, Courier Droid, and Chopper. And I actually had a lot of fun with this list. Poe was particularly impressive to me. We'll get a little bit later into the Ghost and the Shuttle. But Poe with Advanced Optics, I mean, obviously it seems good right from the start, where Poe is able to, when he has a focus token, convert a focus result either into a hit or into an evade, depending on if it's offense or defense.
Yeah, I'm going to say this is kind of the new way you should be building Poe. This is how I'm going to start with all Poe builds going forward. And, you know, depending on the list, I might have to cut it back. But everything on there is adding a lot of value. Veteran Instincts right now is just a great spot to be with all the pilot skill 10 and 11 ships out there, especially them shooting missiles at you. And so you want to be able to react and be able to use that Black One title to drop those target locks and still have that mod of that focus token from the Advanced Optics.
Well, and at the core of Advanced Optics, it's really about action efficiency, where it gives you the ability to effectively have two actions in a single turn without having to take those two actions in the same turn. So often my initial setup in the first or second round, I would take that focus action on Poe, hold on to that focus token with Advanced Optics. And then later on, I had a lot more versatility in action choices, where I was able to then start taking either boosts or target locks to modify my attacks further, since I already had that focus token on Poe.
Yeah, Poe's really good. I played against 3 Advanced Optic Poes over the weekend. There are some things to consider if you're playing Poe, though. You definitely do have to respect the damage output of the Starwings with heavy laser cannon, or perhaps some 4-dice missiles.
Yeah, at the end of the day, even with auto thrusters and Poe's defensive ability with a focus token, you're still often just rolling those two defense dice, especially against secondary weapon attacks where you're not going to get your range bonus. So you're still going to end up taking damage if you're getting three or four hit attacks coming at you.
Right. I mean, you're still able to drop some missile attacks, but the cannon boats don't necessarily need the target lock because they have that battery. And Crackshot against Poe's two agility is pretty potent. So those things can drop Poe pretty quickly if you're not giving their damage output the proper respect. Another fun thing is to take that focus token from Poe with my good friend Paul Opgadali. We can get more into that later.
You kind of teched your list out with some anti-Poe tech because you expected to see him at this weekend's event.
So Poe's great, and there's a lot of different ways you can pair him. You can go with either a Dash or Han. We saw some of that. Or a swarm of ships, or kind of a mix you did, getting some support and then another heavy hitter.
Well, and Poe does come in with this build at 43 points. It's possible that you could drop the Black One title to get him down to 42. That is an interesting place to be. We obviously have seen some very expensive builds recently with our 46-point Kylo Ren. This one's a little different since you do have R2-D2 on there to regen shields. You feel a little bit more protected in your investment often because you can always break away and start regenning. But right now I think the pilot scale 11 on Poe is actually incredibly valuable, especially in combination with that Black One title, where often I would avoid a Harpoon or cruise missile by taking that pilot skill 11 boost, and those ships often were target locking me before I was moving.
Right, between high pilot skill taking target lock actions for missiles and long range scanners, I think there's a lot of reasons to take the Black One title right now.
One thing that actually did kind of surprise me about Advanced Optics Poe is he was actually fairly resilient to stress control. One thing that could often destroy your Poe is if Poe got multiple stress tokens that he couldn't deal with, that meant he wasn't getting his focus token and then would go down pretty quickly with just two agility dice. I noticed with Advanced Optics, I could hold on to that focus token even when I was stressed over multiple times. Actually, in one of my games, I had three stress tokens on Poe, but I was still able to survive, I think, another six or seven rounds after that thanks to just holding on to that focus token for defense and using R2-D2 to regenerate shields.
Yeah, there's a lot to like with that Poe build. I guess moving on, what did you think of the Phantom 2?
Yeah, so this was actually an interesting ship, and it actually ended up playing out, I think, a lot better than I was expecting. I actually really liked the design of the Sheathipede and the really cost-effective coordinate action you get from it. AP5 in particular was really a strong choice. You listeners may have noticed when I mentioned my AP5 and Lothal Rebel builds, I did not include the Ghost or Phantom title cards. This was a very intentional move. I liked having AP5 with that R3-A2 and Inspiring Recruit combo out there shooting to give me some light stress control, as well as giving me access to AP5's ability, which was surprisingly effective.
Yeah, I think you maybe went overboard on your anti-stress deck.
But it came into play a couple different times. I faced off against some stress control. AP5's ability, when you perform the coordinate action after you choose a friendly ship and before it performs a free action, you may receive two stress tokens to remove one stress token from it. So that's a pretty steep cost in order to remove one stress token to take two more. I counterbalance that out by including that Inspiring Recruit on AP5, which lets me clear an additional stress when I remove a stress from a friendly ship at range 1 to 2. But having access to that very cheap coordinate action made my initial attacks from my Ghost incredibly effective. Often I was going into the first engagement with the four attack dice on the Ghost, backed up by both a focus token and a target lock.
Right, and if you don't quite get range, then it's focus and evade, which is pretty good. I played against a few Phantoms and was pretty impressed with actually their damage output over the course of the game. They weren't really a high priority target because there are not many points, and there's usually just better things to focus your early damage on. But having that second firing arc, I think, really gives them a much better damage output throughout the game because they're just firing more often. Particularly when they get into the scrum of things, I think it's a pretty valuable ship to have there.
Yeah, with the games I played with AP5, one thing I learned was if I did survive the initial engagement, my opponent opted not to shoot at AP5. Once I got past the kind of scrum of the fight and was breaking free, having that rear arc and R3-A2 made this a very valuable asset, where that light stress control just stays on my opponent, prevents them from K-turning or S-looping or anything like that. And you're still dealing damage often with the two attack dice against lower agility ships.
Yeah, it definitely adds up over time. Fen Rao's pilot ability is interesting. Locking off all of your tokens for offense, that can really take the fire out of your attack. He might still end up being too expensive, but that pilot skill 11 coordinate is nothing to shrug about either, though. I haven't really seen any Ezras or Zebs, but I think Fen and AP5 are both pretty cool.
Right now, they seem like the winners in this expansion. I faced off against a Fenrau in one of my games, and it was actually pretty oppressive. Fenrau, having one of the longest pilot abilities in the game, when an enemy ship inside your firing arc at range 1 to 3 becomes the active ship during the combat phase, if you are not stressed, you may receive a stress token. If you do, that ship cannot spend tokens to modify its dice when attacking this round. So this is an ability that's only going to trigger once per round, and you have to be unstressed, but it's actually really powerful, and I had this go off against my Ghost, who had a focus and target lock, triggered Fenrau, and then could no longer modify the attack, just had to take the naked 4 dice.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I guess wrapping up Rebels, we didn't really see any resistance bombers on the table. Did see some launching Nims. Those are still really good, probably too good.
Yeah, so far the only experience I've had against the resistance bomber is last week when I faced off against a resistance bomber with thermal detonators, trajectory simulator allowing it to launch those bombs forward, and ordnance silos giving it 3 munition tokens on there, so effectively 4 bombs. And that could be pretty oppressive. It shut down my Ghost pretty hard once it got into that trajectory simulator range where it was just stressed every round. I had very limited options on my maneuver dial, and it wasn't very hard for it to continue to drop those thermal detonators on my Ghost.
Yeah, so I guess, listeners, if you have a resistance bomber build you like, let us know.
Yeah, so actually a lot of interesting new stuff to do with Rebels thanks to Waves 12 and 13. I actually really do like Advanced Optics Poe. He does still suffer a little bit from big alpha strikes with either heavy laser cannons or a bunch of missiles. But if he can survive, he's a very nimble and durable ship. And being able to take target locks now that you have Advanced Optics holding onto that focus token means his damage output has gone up a whole lot, which is kind of one of the main critiques I've had of Poe over the years.
Yeah, he's really good.
Hey, Radio TCX listeners. Time for a quick Patreon update. We've got a whole lot of great news this week. Patreon has decided not to move forward with its patron fee increases, so all your Patreon donations will be processed just like they were before, and you will not be seeing an increased cost there due to any changes. We also like to announce our raffle prizes for the month of January. Since we're in the holiday season, we want to make this raffle extra special, so we've got 3 prizes this month. First up, we've got a set of 10 acrylic shield tokens and 5 acrylic focus tokens produced by Minnesota company Applied Perspective. These are some really high quality tokens there. The shields in particular, I like. They're made with this awesome mirrored blue acrylic. So we'll be giving away those as a set. Our second raffle prize is a plastic Biggs Darklighter pilot card. These, I believe, were released at a Gen Con, and it's actually a really cool collector's item. If you haven't seen the spot gloss plastic cards before, they are really cool looking. We've got some expanded art on there, so this is a really cool collector's item to have. And our final prize for this month, we are giving away a Resistance Bomber expansion. That's right, you can play with the new ship from The Last Jedi. We'll be giving away this expansion to one of our lucky patrons. If you'd like to be eligible for our January raffle, please go on to patreon.com/radiotcx and become a supporter of the podcast at any level. A huge thank you to everyone who's already become a patron of the show. It's through your donations that we're able to produce this show week to week, and we thank you so much for that. And now, back to our cast. So let's shift over to start talking about Imperials again here. I'm actually really liking the Alpha Class Starwings. I know we've talked about this ship a lot, but the more I play with it, the more I'm enjoying it and seeing kind of the different options you have with this new Imperial ship.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun blasting your Poe off the table with those Starwings.
Lesson learned. That kind of showed me the true power of it. I actually flew a pair of these in my list over the weekend at the Toys for Tots tournament. I'm really liking the 32-point build we have with the Rogue Squadrons there. That's a Rogue Squadron veteran with Crackshot, the XG-1 assault configuration title, long-range scanners, heavy laser cannon, and linked battery. So these are each 32 points, so the pair of them comes in at 64, and that leaves you a nice 36 points left to throw in a third ship in your list.
Yeah, so 36 points is a great window for the Imperials. All their ace ships kind of fit into that price point. I've tried Colonel Vessery and really like that, and I also tried Quick Draw with a Harpoon Missile and really like that as well. I think that one synergized really well with the Star Wing's early damage output.
Well, yeah, because even though you're having to convert all your critical results into regular hit results when you fire that heavy laser cannon, often with the rerolls you get from either the target lock or the linked battery, you could generate a crit, which could then trigger the harpoon condition from that harpoon missile.
Right, and in some cases, I just drop the ship that I put harpoon on, and killing it also triggers harpoon. That's another workaround to trigger harpoon.
Yeah, and I also paired a quick draw up with the pair of Rogue Squadron veterans, but my quick draw was a little bit tankier. I opted for Veteran Instincts to get him up to pilot skill 11, Fire Control System, of course, because that's just great action economy, Advanced Optics, so I could set up that focus token so I could get a target lock in my initial engagement and have both a target lock and focus on my first set of shots, the Special Ops Training title, as well as Lightweight Frame to give me that added defense die.
Yeah, and we actually did pretty well with both of those builds.
Yeah, even though you lose out on the effect of Harpoon Missile and the extra attack die on the initial engagement, I found that the more defensible quick draw helped me a lot late game, especially since I was facing off against so many ships rolling three or four attack dice often. Having the lightweight frame there and having the focus token held on by Advanced Optics often saved me a lot of damage and allowed me to trigger quick draw's ability multiple times by holding on to those shields.
But the real winners of that list are the two Star Wings. They just do a lot of damage, can maneuver all over the place, and are quite a bit of fun to play.
Yeah, so the more I fly the Alpha Class Starwing, the more I learn about this ship's a lot about setup using that slam action. Both the generic Starwings have pretty low pilot skills at 2 and 4 for the new and the row respectively, but often I found setting up earlier didn't impact me that much because I had the option to too hard turn away and then too slam in any direction, where even if I picked a less than ideal starting position, I could quickly adapt to wherever my opponent placed their higher pilot skill ships.
Yeah, there's just so much potential with that maneuvering. And I mean, and these are just primary firing arc ships, so you do need to set up in the right position. And it's hard to get continual shots turn after turn. So planning ahead really matters with these ships.
But this configuration with heavy laser cannon and linked battery, as well as long-range scanners getting you that initial target lock, puts out so much damage if you set it up right. I was often getting first engagements where I could fairly reliably put upwards of 9 or 10 damage out in just a single round.
Right, there's a lot of potential there. And there's honestly a lot of different ways you can build these Star Wings. Chris Allen just won a regional with a bunch of news with harpoon missiles. Yeah, so clearly you can get pretty good results with a lot of different loadouts on these Star Wings.
Yeah, and as we are now in a regional season, I'm actually favoring these as kind of my go-to for my regionals list so far. The key for me is kind of finding that third slot, because I really like having two of the Rogue Squadrons there with the heavy laser cannon for 32 points. It's really figuring out what exactly I want in that third slot there for the remaining 36 points that I think is going to shape what I fly at my first regional.
You sure you don't want to fly scum at your regional?
Well, you had a pretty good experience this weekend flying some kind of old school scum.
Right. Let's talk about the new scum first. The Chemogilas are okay. They definitely are still able to participate in a high pilot skill alpha strike, which is good. Let me tell you what is not fun, though, is to play a large base ship versus those bullseye firing arcs. Those do some damage.
Yeah, we've talked about how hard it seems to get those bullseye fire arcs to line up, but that's mostly for me when I've been flying small base ships. I've yet to fall in line with that bullseye firing arc, but you had a little negative experience, though, with your large base ships, right, Carson?
Yeah, I got into a situation with Tim Sturm where he destroyed my Fenrau and Polyp Gadali pretty quickly while still keeping all of his ships on board. And then Asajj got into miracle mode late game, which she is opt to do. And Asajj got double direct hits on Victor Hell to destroy him and then destroyed Thweek in the next round. So it was just Tarani Kulda versus Asajj. And this was a push the limit Asajj. So I had pretty good late game potential with getting focus evade and that lats extra evade.
But you had to face off against that bullseye firing arc, which prevents you from spending your focus and evade tokens on defense.
Yeah, and Tim did a very good job in making sure he always got that bullseye firing arc on Asajj, which meant I got none of my shenanigans. So it wasn't even worth taking those token actions. Just take a target lock and make sure my firing arc was rotated in the right spot. Because I wasn't going to spend them on defense, and then I'd have to drop them or take more damage.
Yeah, Tarani Kulda's ability, of course, after you perform an attack, each ship inside your bullseye firing arc at range 1 to 3 must choose to suffer 1 damage or remove all its focus or evade tokens. So you were basically relying on your Lots Razi for your defense in that game.
Right. And it was still really close. Asajj is a monster, but Kulda got there in the end, and Tim was the only one to beat me this weekend, which is pretty good.
Yeah, both of us won 5 out of our 6 games at this event. So it was a pretty cool experience, a good time to test out these Wave 12 and 13 ships. For me, I'm a little skeptical still of the Kima Gila, just because of all the builds I've come up with so far tend to be a little bit more expensive than I'd like them to be. But there's definitely some real potential here, especially if the meta starts to trend towards large base ships again. I think that Bullseye Firing Arc will be very valuable.
Let me tell you, playing Polydub Gadali against any advanced optic ships is a blast. Because a lot of players generally will not take focus actions when Polyb's around. But they can't not do it if they have advanced optics. They already took that focus action first turn, and it's locked with them. So I just have to run up and take it and say thank you. Now, Fen also got a free focus, too.
So you're calling it right now, Polyb Gadali is the hard counter to any advanced optics.
Yeah, I mean, he's the hard counter to a lot of lists, which is why he's a lot of fun to play. You just have to somehow keep him alive.
Obviously, our experiences with Waves 12 and 13 are just beginning here, going into a regional season. Lots more to experiment with and see what people come up with. If you're coming up with any cool Wave 12 and 13 lists, please be sure to let us know, either on our Facebook page, facebook.com/RadioTCX, or you can tweet at us at RadioTCXPodcast. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. We've just got a couple things we want to talk about, a couple shout-outs we want to give before we end the show here. We will not be releasing an episode next week between Christmas and New Year's, but we will be back the following week with your regularly scheduled Radio TCX show.
Yeah, so enjoy the holidays, and if you haven't, get out and see Last Jedi. And if you have, just go see it again.
We also want to give a shout out to Wade Pache for running the incredibly awesome annual Toys for Tots tournament. Again, the Minneapolis Star Wars gaming community raised over $1,400 worth of toys for the charity, which was a really cool experience. It was a super fun event. There were awesome raffles there. I actually won some cool stuff in the raffle. It was a really good experience overall.
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to the Twin Cities X-Wing community as a whole. It was just a blast playing X-Wing with you guys this weekend.
At the Toys for Tots event, too, they also held a special tournament for younger X-Wing players to play in, so I want to give a special shout-out to all those players. Ben Early, Joey Ruples, Cullen Alt, as well as the winner of that event, Liam Early. Good job, guys. If you like this show, please consider going to facebook.com/RadioTCX and liking our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at RadioTCXPodcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes with a comment saying what you like about the podcast. This is a great way for us to expand our audience and reach new listeners, so we really appreciate everyone who leaves a review for us.
This week we want to give a shout-out to Carson Flintlock. Shout-out for being a Carson. Got to stick together. And he said the show was professional and consistent, so thank you, Carson.
Yeah, and a huge thank you to everyone who's already left us a review.
If you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/RadioTCX and become a supporter of the show today.
I know there's been some turmoil and confusion about how Patreon's working right now, but thankfully it looks like we're getting it all sorted out, so we appreciate everyone who's stuck with us at Patreon. We really appreciate it and allows us to produce this show every week.
All right, and we'll talk to you next year.
Yeah. You guys have a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays.